the turtle. And I want to ask you about sort of this character, Grandma Turtle, in terms of Grandmother Turtle, in terms of, you know, the difficulty in learning to speak Cherokee.
So a turtle has all these connotations to it, right? A turtle is generally thought of as being moving forward slow and steady, right? And taking one step at a time. And those are also what I've found in learning a complex language like Cherokee has been helpful to me, advice that's been helpful to me in as a language learner, is to, it can be overwhelming to think, oh my gosh, I want to be totally fluent. I want to be able to converse with elders on their level and make full sentences and, you know, and not be corrected or, you know, have all that fluency that comes with it. But in reality, it's learning taking small steps and putting one foot in front of the other and just like a turtle moving forward no matter what. And so small things like even just hearing the sound of the language can be revolutionary for some languages that you never get to hear. That there are languages that are dying that only one or two people speak now. So just hearing those languages is a big deal. Learning to say the basic words, hello, thank you, counting, those types of things are the first steps towards language acquisition. So I think there's room for both. But in this, for me, the turtle has been a very strong metaphor for that. It's also very natural to me because my mom, for the last 20 years, has dealt with chronic illness and often referred to herself as a turtle and collected turtles and kind of turtle imagery. So it's a very natural metaphor for me to arrive at, I think.
You talked about the fact that your mom, you begun the process of creating this piece of slowly, step by step, starting to learn Cherokee. You got this grant that helped in part allow you to begin this work, and then your mom passed away.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, and you talked lovingly a second ago about your mom and her relationship to, the figure of the turtle. In some ways, has the piece helped you grieve?
I think so, in a very indirect way. It's definitely been a way that I've, throughout this last year, connected with the memory of my mother by doing the research and by thinking about all the massive amounts of research that she had done. She has a library of over 500 books about Native history and specifically Cherokee history and our family's history. And one of the things I did this summer was to go through that library and kind of make a bibliography of everything that's in there and catalog it so that the rest of our family knows what's there, because we didn't. It's just a way for me to, so as I was doing that, I noticed that she took a lot of notes in the books. And so it was kind of like following the same paths of research that she had followed. There's way more work to do, but I feel like I'm just at the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Julie, I want to ask you, as an Anishinaabe person, you talked about sort of, coming from a generation that in some ways had to relearn teachings or language as adults. For you as the director of this piece, what are the takeaways in terms of, you know, what are the lessons for you in terms of your own work? What do you hope to sort of bring from this going and what do you hope to take forward?
Well, I think, and I don't know if it's conscious for Chris or not, we haven't talked about this, but I think, and actually maybe it's true for other cultures, but definitely I'm realizing how clear that for me as an Indigenous person, and even a person that so much was lost in my family, there's a strong impulse that I am here. And so a impulse to give to give back to the culture, to do some work that supports that in some way. And that's what I feel like Chris is doing, and just recognizing that that is a really strong impulse when for an Indigenous person, I think, and like I said, maybe other people too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to ask, and this is sort of an open question, and folks can sort of answer this as you will. Who is the intended audience for this piece?
Turtle lovers.
Turtle lovers.
Rabbit lovers.
Clearly rabbit lovers.
But I think definitely kids and their adults.
Yeah.
And we're the kind of people who show up at events that are for kids and for families without any kids. But because to us that signifies it's going to be fun. So you're invited to come whether you have a kid with you or not. But a lot of our work, as we say, is for family audiences, because we have found that we create experiences that families can share, like adults and kids can find something in it. That's what we strive for, and that's what we've heard back a lot over the years, that they take lines from our shows and share them as inside jokes, or they get a lot of laughter out of bits from our shows that they carry forward.
I mean, I obviously hope people will come away with an interest in Cherokee, but beyond that, just a renewed interest in language itself, and especially in Indigenous languages, and to be more aware of the language that's all around us.
Mm-hmm. And I was surprised during this research, we discovered that Hebrew was an endangered language, and I'm
at one point, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Jewish, and I don't speak Hebrew, but I don't understand. I can't read Hebrew, but I say Hebrew words in Hebrew prayers, and a lot of people know the word shalom, and even some Yiddish words. People know Yiddish, and people even. If you think about other languages like Sanskrit, one of the oldest languages, how many people are walking around this country saying a couple of Sanskrit words here and there that they picked up in yoga class? So it's amazing the perseverance of languages that they can be ancient, they can be endangered, and they can survive.
And they can come back.
Yeah.
That's the story that I read about the Hebrew. I always thought Hebrew has always been as strong as it is now, but that's not the case. And that it was one rabbi who decided that he wanted his family, his children, to learn Hebrew and started speaking it at home. And that really was what launched a worldwide movement. And you see today Hebrew is, there's I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people speak Hebrew. Maybe it's millions,
And you have that Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish on Broadway. So I think it just speaks to the possibility that it mm-hmm. is. It may seem impossible, but it is possible, and it's happening, and it has happened all around us, all through our years.
And if we take those slow turtle steps, we can turn the languages around.
Well, I'm wondering if you might share some of those slow turtle steps with us again. What I love so much about learning about this work is that I find myself singing and humming songs from this piece just throughout my day. I've enjoyed it so much. My friend, shout out to my friend Miguel Vargas, talks about a certain song can just be like an earworm, uh-huh. right? And it just stays in there, and it's in there, and it's
an ear
it's,
turtle.
Yeah, this is an ear turtle. Maybe share another one of your catchy songs from this piece with us.
Sure. So this is I'm going to surprise Julie here, because this is a song mm-hmm. that is fresh out of me. I just drove to Oklahoma and back by myself. And right before I left, Sherry kind of planted a seed in my brain saying, you know, you have all these songs and it's kind of set up like a concert. You may need to think of an encore song that you can sing when once at the end of the show. So that was in my head. And also in my head was just what's always in my head of acknowledging and being aware that I'm, yes, a member of the Cherokee Nation, but living here in Minnesota in the Twin Cities and doing my work here in the Twin Cities on land where Dakota people have always lived. And so I wanted to give an acknowledgement to that as well. And mm-hmm. and to recognize that this is the Cherokee language is like one grandmother turtle on its back. And there are so many grandmother turtles all around us in a whole spectrum of different strengths. So I'm glad you said that you were humming some of these songs, because I'm going to ask our studio audience here, there's a part for you in this. So there's a very simple refrain that's just turn, turn, turn. And feel free to sing along at home if you'd like to. So, indigenous languages all around. Turn, turn, turn. We just gotta listen for their beautiful sound. Turn, turn, turn. Yeah, indigenous languages all around. Turn, turn, turn. We just gotta listen for their beautiful sound. Turn, turn, turn. Every time you say Minnesota, turn, turn, turn. You're speaking in Dakota, turn, turn, turn. If you're swimming in Lake Nokomis, turn, turn, turn. You might not even notice, turn, turn, turn. That indigenous language is all around, turn, turn, turn. We just gotta listen for the beautiful sound. Turn, turn, turn. When you see a turtle upside down, turn, turn, turn. You can help her get a foot back on the ground. Turn, turn, turn. Even if you don't feel ready, turn, turn, turn. Take a small step out, slow and steady. Turn, turn, turn. 'Cause indigenous language is all around. Turn, turn, turn. You just gotta listen for the beautiful sound. Turn, turn, turn. Winnebago, Pawnee, and Shoshone. Turn, turn, turn. Seneca, Ottawa, Potawatomi. Turn, turn, turn. Oneida, Ojibwe, Paiute, and Kickapoo. Turn, turn, turn. Comanche, Assiniboine, Chickasaw too. Turn, turn, turn. Hopi, Hoopa, Kiowa, Apache. Turn, turn, turn. Mohawk, Nez Perce, Mi'kmaq, Menominee. Turn, turn, turn. Mandan, Spokane, Onondaga. Turn, turn, turn. Maka, Tlingit, Tusco, Aurora. Turn, turn, turn. How many voices are in this chorus? Turn, turn, turn. How many lost have gone before us? Turn, turn, turn. We can turn these turtles around. Turn, turn, turn. We're gonna turn these turtles around. Turn, turn, turn. Yeah, indigenous language is all around. Turn, turn, turn. We just gotta listen for the beautiful sound. Turn, turn, turn. We just gotta listen to their beautiful sounds.
Yay!
Yay! With the remaining time we have left in the hour, I want just to talk a little bit about the performance that's coming up at the end of this week.
Yeah.
Where can people go to hear and see and experience this performance?
So we are doing three performances this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th. On Saturday, we have an 11 o'clock show. And on Saturday and Sunday, we have a 2 o'clock show, both days. It's at our studio, which is at the corner of 41st and Chicago Avenue in South Minneapolis. And to find out more information, you can visit our website, which is www.zpuppets.org, or give us a call at 612-724-1435. Or visit us on Facebook at Z Puppets. We're on there, and there's some sample videos on there that we've been making to promote the show also. The show's free for tribal members, and pay what you can for everyone else.
Oh, yeah. So I know that John and I, you know, my guy and I, shout out to him wherever he's listening. But he has a nephew, and we're like, we've got to go and volunteer to do some nephew sitting,
excellent.
So we can get to the show.
It's a great weekend for nephew sitting.
That's funny because I just ran into someone at the co-op who said the same thing, except with nieces.
Right? You know, I mean, not that we, you know, we might blush a little bit if we showed up, you know. You know, just
no
as,
shame. There's no, no shame.
Right,
no,
as solo adults.
You are welcome of all ages. You are welcome. And, you know, we say that it's for, we recommend ages 3 and up, but mm-hmm. because it's songs and, you know, there's a big, big old turtle with a ukulele and a big old wabbit.
How often do you see that?
I think that, it, you know, younger than 3, I think, may be humming along in their own way.
Yeah.
And are welcome.
Well, we have just a very few minutes left. Chris, I'm wondering if you'd like to take us out with maybe one last song.
Okay.
I'll leave it up to you to decide what that is.
Okay. I can count to 3 in Cherokee, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Can you count to 3 in Cherokee, Sagu, Tali, Joee? You can count with me easy as can be. Together we count in Cherokee, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, Tali, Joee, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, counting to 1 is so much fun with you, my Usti Sagu. Tali, counting to 2's what I most love to do. Good golly, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Counting to 3, just you and me, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, Tali, Joee. I can count to 3 in Chalagi, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Can you count to 3 in Chalagi, Sagu, Tali, Joee? You can count with me easy as can be. Together we count in Chalagi, Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, Tali, Joee. Sagu, Tali, Joee.
Thank you so much, Chris, for coming to perform in studio today.
Wado, thank you for having us.
Wado. And I hope folks have been listening and enjoying and learning as we go along. We're wrapping up this hour of Sanctuary. You are listening here on KFAI Fresh Air Radio, heard locally at 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and streaming live on the web at kfai.org. And special thanks to my guests here in studio, the performers, Chris Griffith, Sherry Aronson, and director Julie Bawada for joining me in studio. This has been so much fun. Be sure and check out the Sanctuary Arts and Activism Facebook page and like it to get updates on future episodes, guests, and news about creative activism. If you want to hear all of this again, and if you missed any of this episode, you can hear it again for up to 2 weeks in the KFAI archives at kfai.org. Just look for the On Demand button and search for this date. This has been Sanctuary for December 2nd, 2019. I'm Melissa